Right, just before we change topics to discipline, Cam has just informed me, and I suspected as much, but there are a number of you here who aren't at a stage yet, maybe for a few years, where you're ready to actually start doing the specific ministry, okay? Some of you younger ones and even some of you older ones. You're still finding your way, okay? There's an old saying. It obviously is not really old, maybe only 100 years old, and you'll understand why. But it's much easier to steer a moving car than a stationary one. All right? Makes sense, doesn't it? So what I'm saying is, just to make it very clear, is even though you may not have an area of ministry, be doing something for the Lord. All right? Volunteer to go on church cleaning, but be doing something, because it's much easier to steer something that's moving than something that's stationary. The Lord will guide you at the right time, but in the meantime, offer to be an assistant in one of the Sunday school classes. Be a helper. Help the kids with their colouring in. You don't have to say a single word. And I've got no doubt that the Sunday school teachers will be thrilled to have you in there helping out with the mayhem. Okay? Because certain age groups, and depending on who you've got and how many kids you've got because you want kids from unsaved homes, and unsaved basically these days equals undisciplined. And when you say to the child, "All right, sit down," they'll say, "I don't want to. You can't make me. I'll call my lawyer." Now, that's not far off. Let me tell you, I know a young lady working at a... it was with kindies, like daycare type thing, who had one of the mothers come up to her and say, "You have been harassing my child. I'm a lawyer. I will take you to court if you don't stop harassing my child and imposing your standards upon her." They were just trying to get the child to say thank you. They were trying to teach the child thankfulness, trying to get the little girl to say thank you. And she went home and told her lawyer mummy that this lady was trying to make me say thank you. And this lawyer bailed up this young woman, this Christian girl, and threatened her. So, but we want those kids in our Sunday school classes, so you're likely to... So your Sunday school teacher will be very thrilled if you want to come in and help out with the colouring in and whatever, and help keep order with a big stick, and just watch out for the lawyers. Okay, but you get the idea? Be doing something. Be doing something until such a time. Occupy till I call, as opposed to occupy till I come. Is that good? All right, discipline.
Discipline.
This is the Sergeant Major section. All right. Now, you've got three verses there. I want you to look up the three verses right now. All of you, look up each one and read it, and then I'm going to ask you a question about them. So I want you to look up Hebrews 12:6. I want you to look up Proverbs 3:11 and 12, and then Proverbs 13:24. Read them. I'm going to give you a couple of minutes so I can finish my coffee. So take your time. Take a long time. That's right, I should be finished in an hour and 45 minutes. This is our last session, is it not, Cam, for today? Going for a game of golf. So read those three passages. Now, there's the Lord's timing. Just when I needed to be able to drink my coffee without any interruption and that I didn't need to be speaking, I was able to give you those three passages that I fully intended to give you to read. All right, so you've read them? No? Oh, you're still going? Sorry. That's all right. Let me is there any other questions or updates on Sandy or anything like that that you need to know while or Brittany here finds the passage?
Something with the last session about 12-year-olds should understand responsibility.
Yeah.
We have a lot to deal with and they don't want to be responsible.
Yeah. It does. And ultimately, you can't impose spirituality upon a person. Okay? And ultimately, you can't impose willful obedience upon a person. All you can do is keep them within legal parameters and show them by your example and by your patience with them, God's loving patience for them. And this comes back to our lives matching up with our lips, that God is long-suffering, and you're going to need to be long-suffering, okay? And that long-suffering love, even though you let them know that you don't condone their behaviour, Jesus was, this comes up again later, Jesus was a friend of sinners. They considered him their friend. But that doesn't mean he condoned their behaviour. And yet, they felt he was their friend. But what we tend to do is we make the unsaved feel like we don't like them. We don't like their sin, but we need them to feel that we like them. Okay, had a chance? You got them all done now?
Yeah.
All right, so what is your conclusion about these three passages? Maybe I could give you a start of what I'm after. How about I give you the start of what I'm after and you try and finish it? Lack of discipline shows what? Lack of love. Very good, you got it. Okay? Lack of discipline shows a lack of love. That's what these passages teach us. Okay? Now, get ready for your blanks. Here you are. You ready? You will have minimal discipline problems. You will have minimal discipline problems if you have prepared well. You will have minimal discipline problems if you, not them, if you have prepared well, if you start well, and you keep your program moving well. That make sense?
Yes.
That works for the world, by the way. That works for anybody. There's certain principles like gravity that God gives to everybody. And the principle of if you're well prepared, and it'll come up again a bit later, so I'm not going to say it now, along the same sort of line. If you're well prepared and you keep your program moving because you're well prepared, that's why you can keep it moving, and if something goes wrong, you've got plan B to fall back on, and you're able to deal with incidents that happen and two-year-olds that come walking through, okay? Then your discipline problems right on cue. How good was that? Isn't the Lord good, Carlos? Amen. You saw it. So you will have minimal discipline problems if you have got your act together. Don't blame them for your lack of preparation and your lack of flexibility. I haven't got that in my notes. Write that down. Don't blame them for your lack of preparation and your lack of flexibility. Now, I'm not going to write it down, but I'll be asking one of you to give that to me later so that I can add it to my notes, okay? So don't blame them for your lack of preparation and your lack of flexibility. You understand what the difference between the two? And lack of flexibility is like a sub-point of preparation, because good preparation is the ability to be flexible, okay? All right, so discipline. Number one, mean it. It can be very hard to keep up. That is good discipline, all right? It can be very hard to maintain good discipline. You see it in families, okay? Parents have their first child and they're really disciplined. Then they have their second child and they sort of slacken off a little bit. By the time they have their 14th child, it can do anything, okay? We've all seen that, right?
Living it.
Living it, yep. How many of you are the baby in the family who can get away with anything? Yeah, okay.
Another one,
okay. And how many you are? How many are the firstborn who suffered the wrath of strong discipline? So we all understand the principle that discipline is hard to keep up. All right, good discipline is hard to keep up. All right, so first little dash. Here's some discipline techniques, I guess. I'm sure all of you have heard of the 3 count or the 5 count, okay? That something like that can be. It doesn't work with everybody and in every situation. I'm just throwing out some possibilities and options here, okay? But if you have a 3 count, follow through. That's why this is entitled Mean It.
Don't turn it into a 4 count.
Or a 6 count. You can put it under the next one if you like, because I've got more dashes here than I've sort of got genuine points. But anyway, I remember my games leader at one stage, he would do the 3 count. Actually, back then in Awana, the 3 count was for people who were misbehaving. That's a 1, that's a 2, that's a 3, you go home. All right, 5 count was what you did to get their attention. And this guy would count. During games, he'd count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Oh, come on, kids. Exactly. Now, did you know, who can pick up what was happening with my voice? It was going higher.
It was frustrated.
Well, it was frustrated, but the key is that it was going higher. Now listen to this 5 count. 1, 2, 3, 4. I never had to get past 4. Did you notice the difference in my voice? It was getting deeper. And it was getting stronger. But the key was it was getting deeper. If I have to talk to a child or even an adult to get their attention, I will speak with a deep voice. Timothy? Not Timothy! You see, let me give you a categorical. This is body language. This is body language, okay? What's the difference between, well, you'll see what the difference is, what these are. You're a good driver. You're a good driver? Now, they were exactly the same words, weren't they? And I didn't write it down, so you couldn't see the question mark on the end of the second one, could you? Right? It wasn't written on paper, but you could tell that the second one was a question. Why was it a question? Tone of voice went up at the end. Went up. Sir? Yes, but it's a way of... it sounds uncertain. Well, no. That's right, but I might be deadly certain that this person is a bad driver, so I'm saying, you're... That's right. But I will say, you're a good driver? With sarcasm. I'm asking... I know they're a rotten driver, and I'm being sarcastic by asking the question. It's a rhetorical question, the answer, okay? I know the answer to the question. You're not a good driver, but by putting my voice up, I make those words into a question, which would normally be a statement. And when you are trying to discipline people and your voice keeps going up, I'm talking about musically here, into a higher note rather than down to a deeper note. If your voice keeps going up, you actually are asking them a question. You are giving them the authority, not you. That's why when you count or when you are speaking to the children or whoever you speak to, you need to lower your voice and speak deeply with authority. If you speak high-pitchedly, and this just may be ignorance, you may think you have to, "Hey kids!" to get their attention because you have to shout and make it loud. But you can just say, "Hey kids!" And he notices the difference. Sorry, buddy. Look, there was the Lord's timing again. Now I've got to go through all the whole process of making friends with him again. Anyway, but you get my point?
Yeah.
Okay? And that can be purely ignorance, that you don't know that by putting your voice up like that, that you are giving the authority to them. Okay? I remember down in Victoria, I don't know if you ever heard him because you may have been too young, Abby, so this might be one fellow that you didn't know. There's a fellow by the name of Hugh Worth. He was the president of the RSPCA in Victoria. And every Saturday morning he would come on ABC Radio and explain some things about animals, and then he would take questions from listeners. And this one lady rang in, she said, "Oh, my cat, it keeps jumping up on the kitchen benches and I keep telling it to get down and it just won't obey me." And she's prattling on, he just interjects and he said, "Lady, the problem's with you, not the cat." Hugh Worth was a man of few words, and if you rang in, you need to be prepared to suffer his ire, okay? And she goes, "What do you mean?" And she said, and he said, "My cats don't walk on my benches because when I say it, I mean it." You see, it was, "Come on, kitty, come on, get off the bench, baby." And I won't lower the voice this time. But you get it? He would lower his voice and tell the cat to get off that bench, and the cat knew that he meant it. So you can speak softly. Hopefully you can carry a big stick, okay? The old saying, speak softly but carry a big stick, but you need to mean it. In other words, if you do have a three count, as was indicated before, someone said, and you get to three and they aren't quiet, then the understood penalty needs to be implemented. Okay? And the penalty needs to be realistic. We're coming up under, I think that's under the fair and consistent. So let's move on to that. Watch out for favourites and anti-favourites. Oh, we all know about that, don't we? Okay? I won't ask for hands as to who was the favourite and who was the anti-favourite, because we don't want any bun fights to break out. But in our kids' club, we had a kids' club called the Mountaineers Club, and we had a little boy by the name of Chris, who was from an unsaved home, and he was trouble on legs, okay? And then we had Emma, who was the daughter of one of the deacons in our church, who was the epitome of submissiveness and obedientness and joyfulness personified and all that sort of stuff. And if Emma did this, she didn't get into trouble. But if Chris did exactly the same thing, he got hauled over the coals. Okay? Beware of favourites and anti-favourites. Okay? Don't make... and now I'm coming to that other bit, all right? So I've already made the point. Don't jump on the anti-favourite and let off the favourite for the same offence. Be fair and consistent. Don't have favourites and anti-favourites.
Watch out for...
That's
two blanks.
Oh, yeah. Watch out for favourites and anti-favourites. Everyone else has got that, but...
It's my age.
Grandma is old, all right? Hey, listen. She is. And she doesn't... She's not trying to pretend that she's not. Well, if she is, she needs to stop, okay? The fact is, I'm old, okay? Mate, I can remember when I thought someone who was 40 was really old. And mate, I'm 63, I think. I can't remember. But anyway, there were three things that happen when you get old. And I can't even remember the first one now. So, all right. Now, don't make unrealistic threats. If this happens once more, we're going to shut the club down.
Throw out your Xbox.
Yeah. Now, that one I'd like to see followed through. But anyway, and I know of some parents who have done something, such extreme measures, all right? But, please, particularly in kids' club, whatever you're doing, Sunday school, don't make unrealistic threats or whatever. If you do make an unrealistic one, apologise to the kids and say, look, I'm sorry, kids, I lost my cool, I shouldn't have said that, I'm sorry, please forgive me. Have you ever done that? Have you ever had a Sunday school teacher say that to you or a preacher say that to you? Okay, look, I'm sorry, I got carried away, I shouldn't have done that, please forgive me. Let's go back and start again. Okay, now, look, you're not doing what you should be doing, and it has upset me, and I lost the plot, I'm sorry. But we need, and I tell you what, they'll appreciate you for it, and they'll be more likely to obey. All right, so where are we? Where are we? But have a definite discipline system. And blank, it needs to be known to everybody. Have a definite discipline system that needs to be known to everybody. Now, you've got a kid who's there for the first time, he doesn't know your discipline system, so you've got to cut him some slack, right? But the kids need to know where they stand. And don't be afraid to make improvements. Put that under the next blank, okay? Perhaps even get someone to assess the way you're doing things occasionally. And don't be afraid to try something new, okay? I think it was a school teacher who said the way one they have is 1, 2, 3, they zip, okay? 1, 2, 3, and that was how all the kids do it.
And as a parent, not the same discipline works for
everyone. That's right. That's true. And that's something that everybody needs to understand. So thanks for bringing it up. Okay, not the same discipline works for everybody. Okay.
So
you got to know your kids, and that brings it back to all that we've been talking about: is that they aren't just a flock of sheep. Okay, they are a flock of sheep, but you know them all by name, and you know their character traits, you know their needs. You know that you can look at little Emma over there and you can say, Emma, shh, and she will. Is this Emma?
Yeah.
Okay, well, this is a different Emma we're talking about. But I have summarised Emma, all right? But over here, you've got Cam, and you walk over and say, Cam, you looking at me? Okay. All right. And if you can keep quiet now for 10 minutes, okay, I'm going to shout you a beer at the pub afterwards. That's been recorded. Oh, no. I'm finally been exposed. Are you with me? You're with me, right? And thank you for bringing that out. You've got to understand what discipline works for each one's. As a group, though, there is like a general thing and getting their attention and so forth. All right, now, as I say, I don't think I have said this yet, okay? Let's do it now. Yep, don't be afraid to try something new or improve, okay? This one's a couple down, but I'll bring it up next. You don't know my order, okay? But don't make it so complex that it defeats its purpose. Now, I've purposely brought with me an example of where I got carried away with the discipline program of our Mountaineers Kids Club, and I put this together. Okay, you don't need to be able to read it. You can see the size of it. And it's entitled Discipline Protocols for the Mountaineers Club. Now that's going too far, right? Now, everything that's in there is quite good, but to expect the kids and the leaders to know all those things, and that was just over the top, okay? And there's a degree to which with schools you need that for legal purposes and so on and so forth. But anyway, next one. Don't punish the group for the behaviour of one or two. I think we've all seen it happen, haven't we? And even done it ourselves. It's just one or two that keep misbehaving, and the whole group gets punished for you. Now, you're suffering the ire of them because you're picking on them, and you've suffered the ire of the rest of the group because they've been good and they're suffering because of these two, and they don't like them, and now they don't like you either. Okay? So be careful with that. So can I ask you guys now, and this is in my notes, to ask you guys, what are some attention getters or techniques that you use to get everybody quiet to be able to do something? Is that a hand?
No, that's what we do.
Oh, you do that.
The last person who put the hand on the head is a turkey.
Right, good.
Meanwhile, everyone else looks like turkeys.
Yeah, in the meantime, that's right. Good. Yes. Yes.
Is to everybody put their hands on their head. All right, now everybody fold them in front of their eyes.
Yes.
Now everybody take them apart and put them under their legs and just following three or four instructions.
Yes.
Help them get into the mood while also taking away their hands.
Yes.
Help them get into the mood of following many instructions, things
yep.
that they could do.
And they were simple enough things that they could all do, and that process wired their brains into obedience. Okay, so that's good. Anyone else?
I saw that happen in school last week because I was in the group.
Yes.
Ready to teach, and the kids would just wild.
Yep.
Brain.
Yep.
And the teacher said, "Everybody stand up. All right, turn to the back. Turn to this. Turn down. Do this. Do that." And they just all just like.
Yep. Yep.
And then okay, sit down.
Yep.
And then I thought.
That's it. So try different ones out. Okay. Another one that I've. Yes, that's the one that I was just going to say.
What was it?
Clapping. So the teacher goes, and the students go. Let's try that again. And you've got their attention, and they're taught that, and you guys learned after one lesson, so you're pretty sharp. Okay, all right. Another one is that I've used with all sorts of ages, and they have to know beforehand. I'll start counting 1, 2, 3. Now you notice I'm saying it not authoritatively here, and the kids know that when I start counting, this is this mode and these kids, that they hear the counting. Whoever's near me join in, and so now there's 6 of us counting. And then the ones near out the back who are noisy hear about 10 people counting, and they go, "Oh, 3. And by the time we get to 5, everyone is counting 5, zoom, and we stop. Okay, so it's a join in as you hear, and by the time, and it doesn't have to be, you could do Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, okay, and have Acts with a yeah, or a praise the Lord sort of thing. And that everybody joins in, and the finale is, and the Book of Acts of the Holy Spirit, not of the apostles, by the way. Okay, Or you could just fire up a chainsaw and take off a couple of legs here or there. I've found that works really well. You don't have kids running away afterwards. Or that's right, yep, that works as well.
We saw a really unusual one in Chuka many years ago when a rally.
Yep, yes, I remember those kids.
And this speaker, and I told him, I said, they're really rowdy, and they have difficulty getting their attention.
Yes.
And when he got up to speak, he sat on the corner of the table and said, a few years ago, just outside of the raft, he said, this is about that time ago, I didn't breathe until he finished.
Yeah, they said,
yeah, that's right. They told the others to shut up. Yeah, yeah, wonderful. So, there's more than one way to skin a cat.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
No. Okay. There's more than one way to do a certain job. Okay?
Skinning cats is not a job.
It should be. It's not a job. It's a pleasure. Okay, so for all you cat lovers here, I was just joking. Oh, and now you woke the baby. Okay, but the fact that what I'm saying is there isn't one discipline method that everyone has to use. You work out what works well for you and those with whom you're working. But the key thing here that we've learned today is mean it. Follow through. Okay, keep your promises. And that good as well as bad. Okay? If this happens, then this will happen. Follow through. And if you promise them a reward if something happens, follow through too. One of my great tragedies as a dad was promising to do things with my boys that I never did. And it wasn't to do with discipline, it was just, you know, one of these days I'm going to take you and we're going to go canoeing or something like that. And I can remember as a teenager or a young adult, one of my boys came up to me and said, I still remember, Dad, when we were about four, you said you were going to take us to do something together as boys, and you never did.
Taken
them? No, because they didn't want to go or we couldn't or whatever. But we are doing things together now. My youngest son and I are now playing golf together. And then Tim's joined in, and now the three of us are doing it together. It has, thankfully, because I asked his forgiveness and stuff. Better late than never. That's it. All right, we're done. Any questions before I hand over to Cam? Have I? Oh, that's right, there's another whole page. Condensed it onto one page for you guys and forgot that in my notes it's on another page. Where is the other page? Ooh. I could, actually. I just can't see it at the minute. Or is it written on the back of my notes? Now which one is it? Oh, it's written on the back of my notes. Because I looked on the back of this one and couldn't see anything. I looked on the back of the wrong one. All right, dealing with distractions. Okay. All right, learn to discern when not to ignore distractions. Like with Patty before. Did you notice that I didn't ignore him before? That I actually used him. And I can remember we had a preacher and he was halfway through his message and an ambulance went by the building. He had a choice. He either ignored it or he used it. And he used it. Because he lost everybody. Everybody's thinking about where's it going, who is it, what's happened, and all that. And so he stopped. And he said, ambulance just went by, didn't it? One day you might be in that ambulance. Would you be ready to meet your Maker? How good is that? All right. Sometimes minor things can be ignored. Someone fiddling, okay? Because some people, that's what they do. I've got a very good brother. I'm going to imitate him here now. In church, at home, what he's doing. He's like this all the time. Okay? His knee just goes like that constantly when he sits down. And you just have to learn to ignore that. But things that capture everybody's attention and cause them to lose track need to be dealt with, like the ambulance going past, okay? I can remember Mully, an Aboriginal boy, when I was ministering down at Murraylands. His pen that he'd been given to take notes with, he'd been fiddling with it, and he was sort of... And then next thing, the pen top went flying right across the room and landed between the piano and the organ. Now, I hadn't seen it happen, but everybody else had. And so I suddenly realised that I'd lost everybody's attention and didn't know why. And so I said, "So, hello, I've missed something here. What happened?" And they all went, "It was Mully." And I said, "Mully, what happened, mate?" And he said, "Oh, I'm just fiddling with my pen and my pen top flipped off and it landed over there somewhere between the piano and the organ." I said, "All right, come on, everybody. Let's see if we can find Mully's pen cap." And so we all went over and we all hung around. "Here it is." And we got it out and gave it back to him. And now, where were we? Can anyone remember what we were up to? Where we were up to? You see, sometimes you need to deal with it. Okay, and it recovered everybody's attention and we're able to move on. I was doing an outdoor holiday Bible club message up in Sydney one day, and we were out in a park, and the next thing, a big jumbo jet went right overhead. That was like the ambulance sort of thing. It just got everybody's attention, okay? And so, again, I dealt with it, and might have asked, how many of you have been in an aeroplane? Really good. Very good. How many of you can remember what was the last thing that I was saying before the aeroplane went over? And I probably said, actually, the reason why I asked you is because I can't remember what the last thing was I said to you. And we made a bit of fun, got back, worked out where we were up to, and the kids were back in the groove again, and away we went. All right? Number five, misbehaving during prayer. Misbehaving during prayer. So, what can be done is the question. What can be done if kids are misbehaving during prayer? Well, you want to know the answer? Well, they're not right next to you. Okay? You're up the front leading in prayer and there are kids down the back looking around at each other. What did the Lord Jesus say to the disciples? In the Garden of Gethsemane. Watch and pray. Can anybody tell me anywhere in the Bible where we are commanded to close our eyes to pray? And the answer is nowhere. Nowhere are we told to close our eyes to pray. In fact, the Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus lifted up his eyes to heaven and gave thanks for the food. So in biblical times, you prayed with your eyes open. It's just a Western custom that we have developed at some stage to help us. Whoever did it meant well. It was to help you focus on the Lord. But the trouble is, if you're leading youth group, okay, sure enough, you're going to hear giggles during prayer because someone's looking around and the naughty kids are the ones with their eyes open. And they look around and they see each other and they go, and whatever, and then they say, poke such and such, you know. And someone's there praying, and, oh! You know. So, hey, look, if you need to, pray with your eyes open. You'll actually be biblical for a change. All right? Oh. Anyway. The fact of your genuine love and genuineness in prayer will help the children to have a genuineness in praying along with you. the lookout, and that I think I've got that on in the thing, and that's where you guys who aren't ready yet can be volunteers. You can be pokers, okay? Prayer pokers. But
I think too, like at school, with all unsaved kids, yes, and church kids,
yes,
they're not close to God, you know,
yeah.
That frightens them.
Yeah. There you go.
I want to be quiet, but you can watch, just be quiet.
Very good. You see, there's no set rule about this, okay? And that's why I asked for input, because that's great. And you've explained it to the kids. I'm going to close my eyes because it helps me to focus on the Lord while I'm talking to him. But while I'm driving, I don't close my eyes when I pray.
Well,
yeah.
Sometimes
they will, they'll hold their hands and keep them. That's right, yeah. And you may, even at some stage, tell the kids that, you know, it actually doesn't say anywhere in the Bible that you have to close your eyes. So it's okay to have your eyes open, but please be quiet while I pray and be respectful, because I'm talking to God now, okay? Do whatever you need to, but do it with love, okay? And I think that's it. Anybody else got any questions before we are finished now, I believe? Cam, over to you.
No, I have a question.
Oh, right. Okay, questions. If you've got to get going, you've got to get going. But any questions on what we've done so far today covered? There's going to be more tomorrow and stuff on different areas, but by all means, any questions? And if I don't know the answer, I'll make something up. Yes, Aidan.
When it comes to the idea of sending kids home after,
yes,
a certain amount of things,
yes,
is, I guess, what's your go-to method for that? We've had some kids that we thought borderline, should we send them home, should we not send them home? Is it when they're distracting other kids? Is it when it's just been...
Well, you've got to make up your own protocol as to where they cross the line, okay? And if it... Like we said, don't ruin the whole... Don't let one or two kids ruin it for everybody. So if you take them aside and you're saying, look, your behaviour is ruining it for everybody else as well as yourself, and if this keeps up, we're going to have to do something, and I'll explain to you what it is, and that's now it's going to be your choice. All right? Now, here's something that you don't do. You, one person... Don't get in the car with that one child and take them home. I know a pastor who almost ended up in court and in prison because he had a boy who was misbehaving, and he said, that's enough, I'm taking you home. Took him home. The next thing, I think it was the police were on his doorstep because he got home and he accused the pastor of abusing him. And it was his word against it. And when it's your word against the kid, guess who they believe? That's right. So never do that. Okay? If you're going to, and this even involves counselling. I encourage one-on-one counselling, but you must be where you can be seen by everybody. Okay? Don't go into a room and shut the door. Never. Okay? In this day and age in particular. All right? But if someone has to be taken home, what I do is I will say to that child that you've been really naughty, and when mum and dad get here or you've dropped off, we're going to be talking to mum and dad about your behaviour, and I'll explain to the parents that they were really naughty this week and it was really ruining it for the other kids. And that's when the parents will sort of go, oh, okay. Oh, it's once the parent understands that their child is ruining it for the other kids, that's, I'm sorry, we love him and we want to keep him in the club, but his behaviour or her behaviour is actually ruining it for the other kids. And here's what will happen. We want him at the club. We want him, her at the club. But if it gets to this level again... we're going to give you a call and ask you to come and get them. Okay? That's the best option. that the parents have to come and take them home. All right, that way you're above reproach and you've talked with the parents about it. And if the parents don't side with you in that first place and you tell them that if it gets to the point where they're misbehaving, we may have to call you and you have to come and get them, they'll either say, yeah, we understand, okay? And you reiterate, we want them at the club, we love them, but it just gets to a point where it's ruining it for the other kids. Do you understand? We may just have to call you in. Now, if they're, oh, you know, we're never sending our kid to your club again, well, that's their choice. But if you've got them on side and they say, yep, we understand, and by all means give us a call, and we'll say, now, just because you have to come and get him and take him home or her and take her home doesn't mean to say they can't come back next week. But that means that we're keeping our promise, that we say that if you misbehave to this degree, you have to go home so you're not spoiling it for everybody else. Because if I don't implement that, then I'm not keeping my promise that we, because we have standards of discipline in the club. And that's why I'll have to call you. But if, you know, blah, 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 and then we would love to have them back next week. And we'll keep loving them and working on them, and hopefully it'll never happen again. That's my recommendation. Okay?
I guess one of our problems is kids coming to the bus to, the bus picks them up, takes them home.
Because I mean, a parent is generally very annoyed if they have to come out and break off their lovely Friday night all by themselves, and now they've got to come and deal with little Johnny.
Yeah.
So,
Well,
they are now taking it seriously.
Yeah. But as I said, don't call them up just out of the blue. Go and visit the parents and say, look, we love Johnny. We love having him. We really want him in our club. But there's been a few times where his behaviour has just been to the point. Now, is it okay? You can even put it that way. Is it okay if his behaviour gets to the point? We know it's going to ruin your Friday night watching Natalia or off with your mates, you know, your only time you're free of the kids and you're going taking your wife on a day where we sorry, but will it be okay if we give you a call? Because things have to reach a point where we have to do something so that it doesn't ruin it for everybody else. And even something like that. It's a tough one, okay? But hopefully, you know, you can implement things within the club that you can say, all right, you know, like on this protocol thing is if you do this, then you miss out on the next lot of games. You have to just sit and watch.
Not every punishment is you're going home.
That's right. So where is it now?
Miss out on the first game, miss out on
the game. That's right. Do you want me to read through this 200-word essay? Okay. Bible time rules. No talking while the leader is speaking. No calling out, put your hand up and wait. No disruptive behaviour, e.g. kicking chairs, poking, etc. No moving your chair or moving your chair without permission. No doing something that your leader told you not to do. But, you know, all this sort of stuff. And then I've got what happens if when a rule is broken. All right? I've got 7 points. All right? Yeah, you can take a photocopy of it. Okay, what happens? First offence, you get a warning. Second offence, your name goes down on the discipline sheet. Third offence, 5 minutes down the back. Fourth offence, 10 minutes down the back. Fifth offence, 20 minutes down the back, one personal count. Sixth offence, no activity and speak to you're going to tell the parents that they've been naughty and you get a 7th personal count. Seventh offence, parents are called to take the child home. That's the third person. I mean, that's an awful lot of carry on. That's why I said this is a good example of me going over the top. Okay? But, yeah, you can say, look, you're giving us grief, Bobby. Okay, you're giving us grief, Emma. Okay? And if this keeps up, okay, you're going to have to sit out the next lot of games. And then keep your word.
We had probably the second or the first year
Yep.
We've always had the rule that no guys allowed in the girls' area, no girls allowed in the guys' area.
Yep.
And we have a kid purposely go into the
girls' area. Yep.
And we decided that, you know, if we send them home, we'd always wait and stay at the front if you do what you're doing home.
Right.
And so we decided, because this kid was, you know, if we send him home, we wouldn't see him again the rest of the week. His parents wouldn't bring him back the next day or anything like that. And we'd lose him. So we decided to give him a bit of a grilling and then give him grace and let him stay. The following next 2 years, we had boys run into the girls' areas on purpose. And then
because they knew they could get away with it. Yep, that's exactly it. Yep. So you've got to follow it through, or don't
yeah,
make the
so
rule.
So that third year we followed it through, sent the kid home, and we had that happen.
Yeah. So that's why you've got to mean it. You've got to mean it. Yep. You can't manhandle them.
You can't do anything.
No. In the old days you could, but
yeah.
Not anymore.
Yeah, we thought about it, but is there anything you know that I don't really know? Have you come across that? Is there a way to...
It's called a cattle prod.
Yeah. We've got enough leaders that want them to stay outside with this kid and try and talk them inside.
Yeah, yeah.
But apart from that, we're a little bit out of loss.
Yeah. Now, that sort of behaviour is that same sort of behaviour that's spoiling it for everybody else. So one of the leaders will sit with them and say, we'll give you a chance to cool down, okay? Understand you're frustrated, and it happens to all of us. And just love them and explain to them. But unless you come inside and unless you join in, what you're doing by not doing anything is... on the same level of someone who is in there smashing chairs or something. You are causing a major problem for the whole club by not joining in and just by sitting there. You have to understand that, and I think you know that. And I think that's why you're doing it, okay? Because you know how disruptive this behaviour is. And so forth, all right? And so you can start to explain that we're going to have words to your parents and go through that same process again and say, we're going to let you go with it this week, but we'll be talking to mum and dad, or probably mum and Fred, her boyfriend, okay? And we're going to be explaining what's happened and talking to them about what we'll do next time, if it ever happens. We hope it never has to happen again, okay? And that you'll be cool and you won't behave like... But if it does happen again, we're going to be talking to mum and working out a plan as to what we're going to do. Mum will probably have to come and pick you up, sort of thing. And so that he, she understands. Same sort of principle.
That's really attention seeking.
It is. Oh, absolutely. You've got passive-aggressive. Everyone understand the passive-aggressive principle? Okay, passive-aggressive. Some people, when they are upset, they become aggressive. Some people, when they are upset, become passive, and it's now been dubbed passive-aggressive. In other words, I am attacking you by doing nothing. And it's a form of... It is a form of rebellion. Yep. Yep. So it needs to be treated the same way as someone who's in there smashing chairs. It's still ruining it for others, and it's still rebellion and disobedience. Okay?
So in an attention, when a kid's attention seeking though,
yep.
Like obviously as a leader we have to do something and say something.
Yes.
But then do you go on the, you know, the kid's just sitting there and they're not actually, like they're sat down, they're out of the game's way.
Yep.
You know, do we then just send three leaders on them and just to
hammer them? Again, it comes back to what we've said earlier on. Treat them as an individual.
Yeah.
Okay? And work it out on the individual basis.
Yeah.
If it's the kid's first day at club, okay, then you're going to treat them differently to someone who's been coming for 6 months or 6 years.
Yeah.
And if they are someone who has you suspect they may have, there may be a little, they might be just slightly on the autism spectrum. Everyone understand what I'm talking about there? Okay. Now, if I was analysed, I'm potentially slightly on the autism spectrum. Okay, because I'm OCD. Okay, is it OCD? No, no, obedient Christian daddy. but yes, I'm a bit like Hercule Poirot. Does anyone know who Hercule Poirot is? Okay, Agatha Christie. He OCD. Everything has to be lined up and straight and square and stuff. And he walks into other people's homes and straightens their furniture and things like that. I'm like that. Believe it or not, I found something to straighten in Grandma's house. But if you get kids who are just on the edge of the spectrum, you have to take that into account. And particularly if it's their first, second or third times and it's the first time they've been upset at club, then go the extra mile and a half with them to be able to help them through it. And treat them as an individual and treat them as who they are and where they're at with your group and all that sort of stuff. And yeah, you acknowledge that they're upset, and you're not. And here's the thing: you acknowledge their feelings, but you're not condoning the feelings that are rebellious, that are hateful, and that are wrong. Okay, so it's okay. The world, when it says acknowledge their feelings, means condone their feelings. Okay. Yeah, but we acknowledge their feelings and then help them to see that those feelings are grievous to them and to others and are not what God wants in their lives. And by the way, don't just start telling them it's sin, because when you say that word, it's probably the first time they've heard it in their life. My sister Sandy, she's my wife and my sister in the Lord, but my wife Sandy, when she first went into a Bible preaching church and heard that Christ died for your sins, she didn't know what that word was. Had to have it explained. Okay, so treat them appropriately to where they're at, and always, always be Christ-like in the way you do it. Keep yourself spotless and blameless. Don't compromise like you did with your boy in the girls area thing. And if you do make a mistake, admit it and apologize to your whole group and ask their forgiveness, okay? Or to that child, if it only needs to be to that child, apologise and ask their forgiveness. And I remember counselling a lady to do with her unsaved sister and grief that had come up between them. And the unsaved sister was the one in the wrong and doing this, that and the other. And then the saved sister bit back. Okay? And so I counselled her, I said, what she did was wrong, but then you were patient, but then you made a mistake and then you were wrong. So what I advise you to do is not go to her and say, well, you were wrong and that's what made me do it wrong. Go to her and just say, listen, when I spoke to you like that the other day, I was wrong, I shouldn't have done it. Will you please forgive me, sis? Don't say anything else. Just say that. Just those words. And now, say them back to me. I literally said, that's what I want you to say. Say them back to me. Okay, and she went and she knocked on the door. And her sister came to the door and she said, sis, when I was there, we were talking the other day, I said things to you that were wrong. I'm sorry, will you please forgive me? And they were reconciled. Her unsafe sister was blown away. What else could she do but forgive her? And their relationship was restored. And she got her testimony back. Because that's what Christians are. Christians are people who understand forgiveness. Okay?
And
and then don't hold it on the kids' account. And don't bring it up again. Once you've forgiven them, don't bring it up again. That's right. The Lord doesn't do it with us, so we ought not to do it for others. Now, it's true that you need to learn to be on the lookout for such behaviour again, but don't use it as a tool against them or deal with them disproportionately because of that, like we said, favourites and anti-favourites. Excellent questions, and we can go on forever, but I think everyone's ready to go home now, are they? Or to work. One more for Israel? I will. How about I do it tomorrow? Because some people have to go to work. And so remind me tomorrow and I'll talk a bit about Israel tomorrow. Okay, fabulous. All right.